All right, 1 John chapter 4. Little book way towards the end of your Bible. What motivates you? It's a good question. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says this, "He that loveth not knoweth not God." Those are strong words, aren't they? He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Because if you knew the Lord, and the Lord knew you, you can't help but love Him. For to know the Lord is to love Him. We'll look at a little bit of that here this morning, but then make the transfer to us. If God loves us, which He does, how does that change us? C.S. Lewis said this, "Though our feelings come and go, God's love for us does not." Isn't that good? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this morning. God, I am thankful that You took a mess, filthy by sin and dirty. And Lord, in exchange, You gave us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God, I'm thankful for Your mercy. I'm thankful for Your grace. God, this morning I am thankful for Your love. God, may we not be satisfied with the knowledge of it, but Lord, may we make application of it. Lord, may we show others, may we show You. Lord, I again so appreciate all that You've done for us. Lord, thank You for eternity and the home in heaven that You've established for us. Lord, help us to not lose sight of what is most important. Lord, thank You for this congregation. Lord, I so appreciate them. Lord, I pray that the message this morning would be what they need to hear. Lord, get me out of the way. Lord, help this to be an encouragement and a help. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I am thankful for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. Man, what a blessing it is. And say, what does that come with? Well, it comes, there's some heartache involved in it, certainly. But the opportunity to be able to preach and be your pastor and just is a blessing to my heart. Just want to let you know that. Love you all very much. Say, are you saying that because this morning's message is on love? No, but you can't help but think about those things, right? I mean, you're thinking about this all week. You're preparing, you're studying, and man, it just makes me a little extra sappy. All right, so there you are. How much does God love you, man? How do you measure that? How much does God love me? Well, if I follow the thought, here we go. Genesis chapter 6, God says the earth is wicked, and because of their wickedness, I'm going to destroy it with water. Hate sin. I look out and around and I see, surely there's sin. And if God hates sin, where's His judgment? Man, praise the Lord that He's holding back a little bit. Praise the Lord we have not seen the judgment of God as we have in the Scriptures like that. So why did He destroy them? Because He got so fed up with their sin, He just almost wanted to start again. And then He made His covenant not conditional based on them, but based on Him. Can you turn me down just a little bit? I feel a little ring. And I plan on yelling in a little while. Not true. Genesis chapter 12, He establishes a covenant with Abraham. A covenant, listen now, and this is such an important word when understanding God's interaction with man. Unconditional. Man, isn't that a blessing? No matter, Abraham got to a point and he says, pretty much no matter what you do, you're My people. Man. I'm not stealing the blessings of Israel in no way, but He has grafted us into that. Got in on that. Man, I am thankful. Don't deserve that. In Exodus chapter 19, he says, you know what, I'm gonna tell you, look, Exodus 19. Exodus 19. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Well, why'd you go and say that? Maybe you've been at the altar. God, no matter what you say to me, I'm going to do. I wonder if the Lord just kind of, I have a dog, Trapper, right? Trapper, he'll stand at the, there's a room, there's a part of the house he is not allowed in. And we have a glass door there. So we'll all be out there and he'll stand outside the door, maybe his feet right at the threshold. He knows he's not allowed in. So he'll stand there and he'll just look at you and go like this. He just turns his head. Pitiful. But he's a mess. I wonder if the Lord, when we make promises to God, I wonder when Israel made a promise to God, God, no matter what you say we're going to do, he just kind of tilts his head. Gabriel, you and I both know that ain't true. And Moses, well, Moses returned the words of the Lord. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Look at chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, he says, all right, well, if you said you'll do whatever I say, here's what I want. And we go on and we're given the law. How many of us are successful in keeping the law here this morning? No, thankfully, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11 tells us that no man is justified by the law, and it shows me as a sinner. So why are you telling us all this? Because that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth. Because of your sin. Because of your disobedience to His law. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, in his beyond comprehending love, says, I'm gonna pay for that. 1 John chapter 4, go back there, please. This is introduction. We're getting going, all right? This morning's message will not be terribly long. I think Brother Rice just got slapped in the back of the head. Elbow on the side. Let him go short. Stop. Becca was telling us, a girl at school yesterday said, can we stay longer? Who would you say? Why would you say such a thing? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Look at verse 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. Love put on an outfit, put on flesh, made it so we could see it. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We are a breaker of God's law, yet God extended his love toward us and another opportunity to have our sins forgiven. An unconditional opportunity. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Who initiated the relationship? God did. You know, you talk to husband and wife and, you know, they're married for 40 years and you ask the husband, how'd you two met? Oh, I was at college and I was playing football and man, she couldn't keep her eyes off me. And you know, and then you talk to her and she says, he was the biggest jerk I ever met and I couldn't stand him. And you know, then this and that. And their stories are a little bit different. Who initiated the relationship? Well, you talk to the guy and it was all him. She couldn't not follow after him. You talk to her and she's like, no, it was him chasing after me. And he was like a little lost pup. And then we talk about the Lord. And there is no contest. I didn't go, you know, God, I love you so much. And he says, oh, All right, then I love you. No, he initiated the relationship with us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Prove it! He sent his son to be the propitiation. That's a big word for meaning payment for our sins. How much did God love us? Enough to give up his son to pay for our sins. I have three sons. Couldn't imagine. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 verse 7. But God made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How much did he love us? Enough to cloak himself in humanity. Enough to humble himself. Enough to die on the cross for you. Romans 5:8, right? But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, what did he do? Christ died for us. In that while I was yet a sinner, how much did God love me? In my worst state, he says, I'll take it. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, man. Let's say that again. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened. What does that mean? To be made alive. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hey, it wasn't because of your great accomplishments. It wasn't because of your great wealth. It wasn't because of your great status. It wasn't even because of your great abilities. He says, in spite of who you are, yet I still chose you and saved you. God, who is rich in mercy, and showed his great love to us. We are not deserving of God's love. We are the very thing that was so offensive to him. The thing he died on the cross for was our sin. The ugliest, most repulsive thing in the eyes of God. So much so, for a moment, he even had to turn his back on his own son. And yet that's where he found me. How much does God love us? Enough to save a sinner. Not only that, look at this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 16. Okay. Watch these two words. Everlasting consolation. Man, what great thought. For our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. And good hope through grace. He's given us a comfort that is not going to just last but for a moment. He is going to be able to comfort us, give us a consolation, a reward, if you will, a blessing that isn't going to carry us for a moment, but through eternity. It's called heaven. How much does God love you? In the midst of your sin, even though you, mankind, promised to keep it, knowing that he couldn't, he sent his son to die for sinners like you and me and give us an eternal life, redemption, Look at Titus chapter 3. We're going to look at seven verses here. Titus chapter 3. This is so good. Here. When we get a handle on God's love, it completely changes our life. It makes the important things important and the minuscule things not important. It helps us stay focused. It gives us eternal view. We were talking about that a little bit in our young adults class today. We were studying Ecclesiastes. The benefit of understanding God's love in our life puts immediate application to our day-to-day living. It can't be overstated. We could preach every Sunday night on God's love in some aspect and not exhaust the topic. It's that important. I said in the bulletin, it is seen from cover to cover of your Bible. It is a theme that is threaded all the way through. You can't get away from it. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Guilty. Violator. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Guilty. Disobedient. Guilty. Deceived. Guilty. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Guilty. Guilty. Living in malice and envy. Hateful. And hating one another. My son and I were driving, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. It was Friday. He says, "Dad, I just don't understand that race thing." He goes, "Why? What's the difference?" I said, "There isn't. How do you think any other way? Hating one another." Look at verse 4. "But after that, the kindness..." Look at now. Look at what the love of God does for a person. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." Hinge verse. Here's what you're like without Christ. And here's what you're like with Him. Verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing, the regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us," look at, "abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." What a change through Christ. Look at what you were before. Look at the hinge verses, the thing that completely changed the course of your life. What was it? It was God's abundant love toward mankind. Man, that's good. How much does God love me? So much. How else do you describe it? God's love is, listen now, unmerited. We talked about that when we talked about grace. It's not because I deserve it. He just abundantly pours it out in my life. But it was costly to Him. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. What does God's love cost you? Nothing. Here's a principle. If something's free to you, it costs somebody else something. So in society, when people are getting free stuff, someone's paying for it. You're welcome. Vote accordingly. When you walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and it costs you nothing, know that it costs somebody, because that doesn't just show up by accident. In whom we have, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. See, for forgiveness of sins, something had to be shed. Blood. That's painful. That hurts. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. It was costly. It was costly to the one that shed His blood. We got in on it for free. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. Ephesians 3:19 says, "And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." God's love is unmerited. It is costly, but it is complete. The fullness of God. Again, we were talking in Ecclesiastes, and you know, so much of our life is spent after temporal things. Wealth, beauty, knowledge, pleasures, family. He says this in Ecclesiastes, I think it was 6:3. He says, even if you had 100 kids, it's all temporal. So much of our life is consumed with things that are not going to last but a generation. And yet, we are only complete in Him. The very thing that's going to last through all eternity is our relationship with Him, is His Word. So what do we spend the most amount of time on? I want to show you this real quickly. Romans chapter 5. How much did God love us? So much. God's love is unmerited. It is costly. It is complete. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. The Bible says this, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift." Pay attention to how many times you see the word gift in this passage. Look at how many times you see the word free gift. As if there's any other kind. Seems a little redundant. Free gift. "For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift." See, salvation is not earned. It's free. It's free. "For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the," what kind of gift? "Free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one." Who? Jesus Christ. Can we read verse 17 again? Because that just, it is like wind across coals. It just lights in my heart. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one." I start thinking about my sin and my separation and who I was and what I deserve. That's the first part. "Much more they which receive abundance of grace." Not just a spot, not just a drop, not just a little bit here, a little bit there, a small little wedge. Yesterday we had Sarah made some muffins and there was more batter, so she puts in the middle of this pan a mound of muffin mix and just cooked it. Turned out to be a giant, what would we call that? Cake. It wasn't even a cake. It had no edge. It was weird. But yeah, it was a circular thing. And so the kids are like, "Dad, can I have some cake?" So they each got a wedge about this big. Unsatisfied. That is not the grace of God in your life. The Bible says it was abundant. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one. Who? Jesus Christ. The free gift came upon all men under the justification of life. Why? Because He loves us. Unmerited. Costly. Complete. Free. Are the words that we said this morning true? Can anybody disagree that God loves man? No objection here. He's proven it. We said it this morning. He has proven it time and time again. He has recorded it. He makes Himself known. And all too often, that's where it lays. That's where it stops. Nobody picks up the love of God and runs with it. It's settled in my heart and that's it. But the love of God prompts a response by us. John chapter 14. And we're almost done. John chapter 14. Although a short message, a very weighty and most important. John chapter 14 and verse 13. John 14, 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Look at verse 15. Let's read it together. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Where is that found? Exodus chapter 20. No. In Proverbs. Deuteronomy. No. In John. Last time I checked, John's in the New Testament. If you love me, keep my commandments. How can the love of God have made an impact upon your heart and we do nothing with it? How is it possible? That's what John's asking. If you love me, this is Christ talking, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and look at, and will manifest myself to him. Say, God, I love you. And he says this. He says, good, now go do what I said. Well, I don't want to. He says, you do it and I'll make myself known to you. I will manifest myself. Ever see how some people just seem to walk with the Lord and love the Lord? You can't take the two away. They're inseparable. Obedience to God. Love of God. And then His presence. Look at verse 23 of the same chapter. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He doesn't just manifest himself, he moves in. We have people that live at our house that we don't want there anymore. Say, what is that? Well, every now and then, field mice come in. So we kill them, trap them, snap their necks, and toss them away. Say, that was mean. Well, we don't want them there. About God. What do we want more than anything in our homes? God. God says, you love me? Do what I say. And my presence will be so felt that it feels like I'm living with you. That's wonderful. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment that ye love. Oh, man. Ever wish there was a verse that you could cut out? Wish I could just be by myself. I do best when I don't have to interact with others. Ever say that to yourself? That's not biblical. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Christ says, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He says that. Let me explain something to you. Love others. Put yourself aside. Then we go back to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 and verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, does God love us? So we have kind of like a cause and effect or a contingency verse, right? Beloved, if God so loved us, which He does, then therefore we ought also to love one another. And God's love isn't going away. It's not seasonal, not time driven by the hour of the clock. It's not based on a time period of your life. The contingent factor of us loving others is that God loves us. And if God loves us, our command is to love others. Have we not seen that God loves us? Therefore, we ought to love others. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Remember, it sounds like He'll manifest Himself, He'll make Himself, He'll abode with us, and His love is perfected in us. God's love is complete. What do we see here? God's love is perfected in us. What does that mean? It's complete. All goes together. So we're to show others. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 says that, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. What does that mean? Sincere, real, genuine. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. If God's love is real in your life, you are automatically going to love others. So what is the problem? Why don't I care for others? Maybe I've lost the view of God's love for me. That's why it's so important. Our verse for this week, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy four things. With all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Is that the third one? Is that the fourth one? I think there's four. Soul. Oh, yeah. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Thank you. It's not Sunday night yet. Give me a break. A little bit of love. I would appreciate it. That's our first commandment. What's the second? Well, it's kind of like that. Love others. Because God's love is in my life, it's like a mirror. It comes in and goes out. That's how it ought to be. Seeing you have purified your souls, how did I do that? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Genuine, sincere. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Show others. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and then we're done. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. What does it mean to constrain? It means to urge, to action, compel. When I get a handle on God's love for me, know what it does? It urges me to react. It prompts me. It pushes me. It drives me. It compels me. It moves me. You cannot understand the love of God and not be touched by that. Changed by that. The love of God ought to excite the Christian. Why? Because we are dead, we are undone, we are ruined, we are lost. And we would have remained that way had it not been for God sending His Son to die for us. Changed our eternity, but also changed our life. Because verse 15 says, "And He that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." You see that? That changes today. Christ has given us a home in heaven. The love of God has promised us eternal life, eternal consolation. But it also changes today. "But henceforth," not henceforth, "live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. I no longer live for myself. I live for the Lord." Maria Dyer, she was born in 1837 on the mission field in China. Her parents were pioneer missionaries. Both her parents died when Maria was a little girl. She was sent back to England to be raised by her uncle. The loss of her parents did not deter her from the importance of sharing the gospel. At age 16, along with her sister, returned to China. Her parents were pioneer missionaries that died because they were missionaries. She saw it firsthand. She got sent back to England, had to live with her uncle, and when she was old enough, you know what her first decision was? "I want to go back." Maria, you saw your parents die on the field. Why would you go back? "And He that died for all, that they should live, not henceforth live unto themselves." Because I'm not living for me. She went to China to work in a girls' school as a missionary herself. 5 years later, she married a man by the name of Hudson Taylor. Hudson and Maria's work was often criticized. At one point, Maria wrote back, she says, "As to the harsh judging of the world, or the more painful misunderstanding of the Christian brethren, I generally feel that the best plan is to go on with our work and leave God, look at now, to vindicate our cause," she says. "I'll let God sort it out, but I'm not going to live for me." To what degree, where do we draw the line in that? How serious, how radical are we going to be with that? Of their 9 children, only 4 survived to adulthood. Maria herself died of cholera when she was 43. But she believed the cause was worth the sacrifice. Her grave marker read this: "For her to live was Christ, and to die was gain." See, we live in a world of just self-absorbed. People care more about themselves than anybody else. And we need to renew the thought of sacrificial love. It was God's love for us that sent Jesus to the world to die for sins. And it's that kind of love that our world needs to see so greatly. I want you to listen to this thought. When we love God as we should, our interests fade as we magnify Him. As we love God as we should, our interests fade as we magnify Him. We sang Majesty this morning. Oh, to see God on His throne makes everything else just kind of fall in the right place. Do you love Him this morning? How much do you love Him? We know how much he loves us, enough to keep his commandments, enough to show and tell others, enough, listen, to live for him, enough to die for him. Let's all stand.